Well, good afternoon, brethren. Well, we've just finished observing the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We started by focusing on the huge sacrifice Christ made for us, the significance of his life and his death, coming to this earth to give us the perfect example of how we are to live our lives according to God's word, to bring us to God the Father, to glorify him. In Strong's, there's actually about six or seven words that mentions glorify or words for glorify, but I kind of didn't want to try to pronounce all of them and give them all the all the things, so I just wrote down the definitions. They were glorify means to exalt, to render or esteem glorious, to magnify, to give honor. So if we could turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 in verse 4. It says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Christ glorified God. So my question for you today is, do I glorify God? Do we follow Christ's example? Do we give God the glory that he deserves? If so, how do we do that? If you continue on in John 17, skipping down to verse 6, Christ is talking to God here and he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And in verse 7, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. And verse 8, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So Christ is having a conversation with God here, basically saying that he had done everything that God had given him or instructed him to do. He had finished the work. He glorified God in all that he did here on earth. David also gave God glory. He was always giving God glory. If we turn to Psalms 86, in verse 12, we read, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. That's just one example of David glorifying God. He actually did it pretty much throughout his life. He was put in many different difficult situations where he was always praying and asking God for strength and courage and protection. He continued to glorify God for all the things that he did for him in his life, his mercy, his compassion, his strength. Paul is another good example of someone who always glorified and gave God thanks for all things in his life. He was always thanking God for the brethren. Almost all of his epistles starts out saying, peace and mercy to you, and we thank you, give you thanks and mention you in our prayers constantly. He was always thanking God for the brethren. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, It says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." Why? Moving on to verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor in love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." Paul also gave God the glory for his grace, mercy, peace, and for all comfort. We don't have to turn to all of the scriptures, but you could find some of those things in 2 Corinthians 1:3, also 1 Corinthians 1:3. But let's do turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ," continuing on in verse 4, "who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." And finally in verse 5, "to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul here essentially is giving God the glory for Christ's sacrifice. So, brethren, we need to make sure that we are giving God the glory also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Paul here is talking about he and some of the other apostles and leaders. Doesn't mention a couple of the other apostles, but he infers that they also did this. But this is where he talks about he planted and Apollos watered. He said, "But God gives the increase." So we are the field that is being watered. And we are God's building. Brethren, we need to glorify God in everything. Let's look for a minute what Paul says in Romans 5. Romans 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 2, "through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We have the hope of the glory of God. And dropping down to verse 3, "and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance," verse 4, "and perseverance, character, and character, hope." So if we look to God, we can glory even in our tribulations. In fact, we should glory in our tribulations, because we know that everything that we go through in this life is for God's glory. We need to know and believe that. God gives us comfort through our trials. If you had turned to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 4, we read, actually, let's start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Verse 4, "who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So why do we need to give God all the glory? Let's see what Paul says in Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. So it's our reasonable service. That's how we give God the glory, by being living sacrifices, like Christ. He was a living sacrifice and also a literal one. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. One way we can present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God is found in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in closing, let's turn, if you will, again to Ephesians, this time chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, to see what I think is the most important reason we need to give God all the glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's why I think we need to give God the glory.